reading today talked about Jesus' teachings about little things, or what seems to be little but actually is not, about seedlings that are planted in yeast and those things that become great and powerful by the hand of God and the blessing of God. That is who we are supposed to be. And Paul then tells us what we need to do when we can't be that, when we're feeling sort of weak, when we're feeling needy, when we're feeling in need, and there's a difference. So hear these words from Romans, from Paul. He says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart and knows what is in the mind and the spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all good things, all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not with, who did, let me try that again. He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers or heights or depths or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Gets a little thick in the Paul passage, doesn't it? Let's boil it down just a little bit. There are a couple kinds of seeds in our world. There are the seeds that God plants, the seeds that the young people and I talked about, the seeds that produce good things, the seeds that bring life into the world, the seeds that love, and the seeds that promote love. The seeds that love and promote justice, the seeds that love and promote peace. Those are seeds from God. And the truth is that Jesus Christ, because of his life and his death, his resurrection, his promises, everything that he did, nothing can separate us from that love except us. It's not in there. But it's there. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you love the Lord, if you're doing your very best to follow Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can separate you from that love. Illness won't do it. Work won't do it. Family won't do it. All those things actually promote more love. When we are tender with one another, when we are ill, when we work hard for the Lord, at what we feel God wants us to do, when we tend to our spiritual gardens, we are helping to promote God's seeds, and we are building that link between ourselves and the Lord even stronger and stronger and stronger. But there is another side to this. Because anytime throughout our lives, we can cut ourselves off. We have that free will. We can walk away. We can say, God, I don't need you anymore. I don't want you anymore. I don't like what you do. We have that will. God gave it to us, and God will not stop us. God will reach out to us. God will try to bring us back. God will offer us all sorts of blessings. But if we don't want them and we throw them back, we throw them back. The only thing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ is us. That's the only thing that can separate us. Now, preaching a little bit differently to Don. This is a private note to Don here this morning, and to Sheila, I guess. A little differently this morning than last night. Here's the thing. This last week, I have seen some of the best church stuff happening. 10 days, let's say. I've seen some of the best seed planting, loving, non-separating work of Jesus Christ around me. I've seen people pick up and do stuff that they don't ordinarily do. I've seen them give hugs when they don't normally hug. I've seen them be places that they don't normally go. I've seen them smile when they don't feel like smiling. I've seen them cry when they don't normally cry in public. I've seen some God-awesome things. And yet, doggone it, all these wonderful things are being planted. All these seeds are right in our midst. They're right in our garden, ready to be planted and nurtured. And yet, what do I hear in other places? Oh, the church is dying. Oh, we're never going to be able to do anything. Oh, the church building's too big, and the bills are too much, and we can't afford this, and we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we're failing at this, and we're failing at that. I just don't know. All these people used to come to our church, and they don't come to our church anymore. That's not good seeds, folks. That's planting bad, choking, upkey seeds. And as your pastor, I would be remiss if I did not say, stop it! This is an amazing church built by Jesus Christ. You are amazing people. If you don't know how amazing you are, come see me and I'll tell you how amazing you are. Better yet, ask God. God will tell you. God's got more authority anyway. But we don't get anywhere if we are constantly planting negative seeds. If we are constantly letting the weeds win. If we're constantly thinking ugly thoughts in our brains. Now, this doesn't happen just for the church. This is your life, too. What kind of seeds are going on in your head? You got good seeds going on? God, I know you love me, and I feel so grateful. I know I don't always get it right, but appreciate that you let me try again. Or are you planting ugly seeds in your head? I'm worth nothing. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I shouldn't be here. People don't like me. Everybody's got some criticism of me. You get to choose here. Don't you let this one win. Whether it's in your personal life or in your church. You don't have to do great, big, huge, magnificent works in order to plant good seeds. The kids and I were talking about how small seeds are. I told them last night that I sat outside yesterday and I decided on a time frame that I was going to watch. And in that time frame, I was going to see how many little blessings, little things that I could see of God. Two butterflies. Flying all around, fluttering all around. Butterflies are plentiful this year. It's gorgeous. I love it. Butterflies are my symbol of resurrection. So, and they're fluttering all around, and they're going in different. But every once in a while, they come together and kiss. Then they fly around some more. They come together and kiss. That's us. We go about our daily lives, and we flutter around, and we do what we need. But when we need each other, we come and we kiss. The holy kiss. When somebody's having a hard time, you may be fluttering over here, but you come over and give them a kiss. A holy kiss. Support. Love. Unconditional love. I saw a male cardinal. He about took my head off, actually. He swooped down behind me, and I had to check to make sure he didn't take my hair with him. And he landed on this tree in my next-door neighbor's copse, or whatever that is, that they've got. And he landed on this tree branch, and I could see him. And he was up preening, and his little tail was going, and then he started doing this little dance-like thing with his feet, and I'm thinking, what is he doing? I don't see any female around. What's going on here? I looked all around, well, pretty soon. Just because I hadn't seen it didn't mean it was there. There was a female all the way at the end of the branch. This male's just doing his very best to show her that he's a good person. He's a good little birdie. He'd make a wonderful mate. He's going to fall in love with her for, you know, however long it takes. He's going to fall in love with her. And she starts getting a little bit nearer and a little bit nearer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer. Pretty soon they're just sitting right next to each other. That's us. So you don't know everybody in the congregation well. Get to know them. Get a little closer. So you don't know. I saw that, Dana. So you. I love it when people take my sermons literally. So you don't like everybody in the congregation. So you don't agree with everybody in the congregation. Instead of getting far away, get closer. Get closer. You are chosen. You have been called. You are named. You are blessed. You are Christ's. Stand up and act like it. Let us pray. Gracious God, nothing except us can separate us from your love. And I don't want to be separated from your love in any way, shape, or form, because I don't want to live this life without you. And I know that the majority, if not every single person in this room, feels the same way. We don't want to live apart from you. So we ask you to help wipe away all the junk and the garbage and the bad seeds and the weeds out of our minds. And let us keep planting good seeds and not worrying about the result. Just keep planting in trust and in love. Because we know with you everything, anything is possible. Let us learn more and more about you every day so that we can live more and more like you every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is More About Jesus, Would I Know. And we all need to know more about Jesus each and every day of our lives. So stand and sing with joy, gusto, and